I'm Xin Yu. I'm from Georgia Tech. I'm a PG student there. Today I'm going to talk about our research, pollution attacks on personalized services. And this is joint work with my colleague, Wei Meng, Dan Duzen, Professor Alex Snoring in UCSD, Professor Nick Fimister, and Professor Wenke Li. With the development of the web technology, personalized services becomes more and more popular. So for example, today, personalization on the web gives us the video that we want to watch, the news that we want to read, the product that we probably will purchase, and even the search results that are more relevant to us. To make those personalization techniques work even better, a lot of researchers devote their energies on improving those personalization algorithms, because personalization algorithm can help those websites to make a lot of money. However, when websites like Google, Facebook, YouTube, and Amazon is using personalization to make more and more money, we haven't even thought about a question. Is personalization actually secure? So today, in my talk, I will answer this question with our research results. And here is the roadmap of my talk. I will first talk about how personalization works on today's web. And then I will discuss how personalization can be exploited. In particular, at the high level, I will discuss how this attack can be launched against search engine like Google, video sharing website like YouTube, and shopping web portal like Amazon. And following that, I will give more detail about this attack. In particular, I will take YouTube as an example to show you the power of this attack. And finally, I will conclude our work. The personalized services of website is actually driven by a piece of personalization algorithm. In general, a website with personalized services records its users' action on the site and create a user profile for each of its users. In particular, a user profile contains the information about the user's action, such as the term that the user searched on the site, the links that the user clicked, and even the time the user spent on the page. To provide personalized web content, the personalization algorithm takes both the user's profile and the static web content stored on the site as input, and then present a piece of personalized content back to its end user's computer. And here are some examples. Google search uses a user's search history to customize the region of the user's search results, which is highlighted in this picture. YouTube uses the videos that the user has watched to suggest new videos that the user may want to watch. Also, shopping portal like Amazon uses a user's browsing information to tailor the user's homepage. With this background about how personalization works at the high level, here we introduce a new attack, and we call it pollution attacks. Our pollution attack is a new type of attack. First, it gives attacker a capacity to manipulate personalized web content that a website delivers to its end user. In particular, it allows the attacker to manipulate the personalized web content showing in the personalized region. And here is an example. For example, the attacker can replace President Obama's video with North Korean videos. Later on, I will give a concrete example to show you how this actually works. Second, different from those existing attacks, like attacks use malware, like we all know, which in fact uses computer and changes the web content presenting a user's machine. Our pollution attack do not rely on any malware installation. That is pretty cool. Third, our pollution attack is also different from those black hat SEO techniques, which use a large number of websites to manipulate the web content presenting to the user. Actually, our pollution attack neither need to create such website nor use such website to influence the static content stored on the server. And finally, our pollution attack can be easily launched on any third-party website that attackers control. And as long as the user visits the site that the attacker controls, the user's personalized content will be manipulated in the way that the attacker expects. To summarize, here is how our pollution attack jumps into the picture of web content manipulation. Instead of directly targeting the user machine, like what malicious adware did, or targeting the web content, like Black Hat SU did, our pollution attack targets the user profile the personalization algorithm greatly relies on. In particular, our pollution attack needs the following three steps to attack a user's profile. First, the attacker needs to reverse engineer how service personalization algorithm actually work. In particular, the attacker needs to figure out how personalized services use user profile to generate a certain personalized web content. In other words, the attacker needs to clearly understand what profile generates what kind of personalized web content. With this knowledge, in the second step, the attacker selects a target web content that he would like to present to the user, and then create a set of forced user action. In this step, the rule the attacker has to follow is to ensure the set of forced actions that he creates can cause the personalized algorithm to present his target web content to the user. In other words, if the attacker injects a set of forced actions to the user profile, the attacker can present his target web content as the personalized content that the user receives. So in the last step, the only thing that the attacker needs to worry about is how to inject the pre-prepared forced actions into user profile. Here, the key insight of this attack is the attack does not necessarily have to hack into the server and modify the user profile. Instead, the attacker can easily use existing techniques such as cross-site request forgery, clickjacking, or session hijacking to influence a user's profile. In particular, I will demonstrate how this attack works with cross-site request forgery. So in other words, I will demonstrate how to use cross-site request forgery to inject false actions to Google Search, YouTube, and Amazon Shopping Portal. Although cross-site request forgery has been worried by our researchers for stealing banking information, compromising user email box, and so on, websites with personalized services haven't realized cross-site request forgery can also be used to attack their personalized services. For example, here, I will demonstrate how attacker can use cross-site request forgery to inject false actions into user's profile on Google Search, YouTube, and Amazon. Assume after the first two steps of a pollution attack, the attacker figure out a set of false actions. As you can see here, we define the false action differently across different personalized services. For Google Search, the false action are a set of search terms that the attacker wants to inject into Google user search profile. And for YouTube and Amazon, the false action are YouTube video and a commercial product the attacker wants to inject into user browsing history profile. To do it, the attacker first encodes these false actions into HTTP request. And then embed this HTTP request into image tags. And finally, the attacker hosts this image tag on any third-party website that he can control. In this way, if a user visits a third-party website that have this false action embedded, the user profile will be polluted, and the pre-prepared target web content will be presented to the user. With the high-level idea about how a pollution attack works, now I will take a concrete example to give you more detail about this attack. So in particular, I will demonstrate this attack on YouTube. So in our paper, we also discuss this pollution attack against other services like Google Search, Amazon. But in this talk, I will skip those parts. So, and also suggest you to read our paper if you have the interest in it. As I just introduced, a pollution attack has to follow three steps. And the first step of a pollution attack is to reverse engineer personalized services and understand how personalized services actually work. So in this particular case, we reverse engineer, of course, YouTube personalized services. However, to achieve this goal, we don't necessarily do the reverse engineer by probing YouTube and see how YouTube actually behave. Instead, we simply hack YouTube through several simple observations and a research paper published by YouTube team in 2010. And here is the paper. And what makes us surprised is we found most of the techniques introduced in this paper are still being used by YouTube today. Here I summarize a few key points about YouTube personalized services. First, from our observation, we found YouTube usually display two personalized videos on the playlist every time when a video is played. So as you can see in this particular example, the personalized video are the videos showing in the red rectangle. Also, we found the two personalized video may not related to the playing video. So in this example here, when a user watched a New York Times news, the two irrelevant Chinese video popped up on the playlist. And finally, we also observe the personalized video can be ranked in different spots. So for example, in this case, the two videos, the personalized videos, one is ranking fifth, another is ranking sixth, and this rank could be changed in other scenarios. The paper published by YouTube team well explains why we see these two irrelevant Chinese videos are popped up on the list. As introduced in this paper, YouTube paper, to do personalization, YouTube keeps the track of navigation between any pair of videos. And here is an example. Assume there are four videos. YouTube keeps track of the navigation count between each pair of the video. Here, let's take video A as an example to show how to compute the navigation count. In this particular example, we assume video A has been watched by 100 users. And YouTube keeps track of how many users directly navigate to video B, C, and D after they finish watching video A. So therefore, YouTube can maintain this navigation count between videos in a large matrix. So in this case, YouTube maintains a 4x4 matrix. And each of the elements in the matrix represent the navigation count between a pair of videos. For example, this cell in the green square represents the number of times that user navigate to video C after they finish watching video B. To pop up a personalized video on the playlist of a YouTube user, YouTube check all the watched video of that user and then use the navigation matrix that the YouTube maintain to select a candidate video set based on a threshold. For example here, we assume user Bob watched video A, and video A is the only video that Bob has watched. Also, we assume the threshold for picking up the candidate video set is 15 navigation counts. Then in this case, YouTube will select video B, C, and D to be the candidate video set for Bob. With video B, C, and D in Bob's candidate set, in future, when Bob watches any arbitrary video, YouTube will randomly pick two videos from Bob's candidate video set. So in this example, the candidate set is B, C, and D. Although YouTube team doesn't review how candidate video should be picked up in detail in their paper, but we found the pickup procedure is not uniformly random. The video that has a longer length or has been viewed many, many times are more likely to be selected as personalized video. With all this understanding from both our observation and the research paper published by YouTube team, we continue to launch the second step of the pollution attack. Remember, the second step of pollution attack is to create a set of false actions. So in this particular case, the false actions are the videos that the attacker wants to inject into YouTube user watch history. Here, one simple way to prepare these false actions is to upload two videos to YouTube and then create a navigation relationship between the videos. So in particular, to demonstrate this attack, I upload these two videos, as shown here. And then I designate one as target video and the other as false actions. Here's the target video is the video that I will present to the user, and false action is the video that I will inject to user's profile. To create navigation between the two videos, there are several methods the attacker can use. Either the attacker can just use cross-sourcing by asking a certain number of his friends to watch this two video one by one, or the attacker can leverage botnet or Tor network to do so. Here, because I have a few friends on my Facebook account, so I simply post a message on my Facebook account and ask them to watch these two videos one by one. Because I don't have too many friends on my Facebook account, so finally both videos get around 67 numbers of visits. It's not a huge number. So we are curious, will this small number of navigation make the pollution attack actually work? And let's see, here is the results. After encoding the false actions into HTTP requests and using cross-site requests to inject the false actions into a YouTube user account, we use that YouTube user account to watch an arbitrary video. And here we are watching a golfing video. As you can see on the right-hand side, there are two playlists. One is the playlist before the pollution attacks, and the other is after the pollution attacks. To compare this video, two playlists, you can easily pinpoint or target the video on the playlist. Although the last few slides can show the effectiveness of a pollution attack, there are still a few questions that I haven't answered. So for example, what is the rank of the targeted video in the playlist? In other words, we're curious if the targeted video ranks very high on the playlist or not. Also, we would like to know if pollution attacks are actually effective in the real user. That basically means if we launch this attack in the real world, what we can get. So with this question in our mind, we designed two experiments. So in this first experiment, as you see in this slice, we upload two videos and select one as target, the other as the false action. Then we launch this attack on new created YouTube user account. We basically create an account and launch this attack. After the attack are launched against the new account, we use the account to watch 100 arbitrary videos. We basically random pick up 100 videos. And we found our target video is always shown on the playlist when we watch the video that we picked. So this is not a surprise, because the new YouTube user account do not have any watch history, right? But this high successful rate prove one thing, that is, the personalized video is not influenced by the playing video. That basically means no matter what video you are watching, so those personalized video or targeted video is always there. And during this experiment, we also record the rank spot of our targeted video on the playlist every time we watch that video. So the figure shown here is our experiment results. Here, x-axis is the targeted video rank on the playlist, and the y-axis represents the times the targeted video is ranked at that spot. So one observation you can easily see is there are around 80% of time we see our targeted video is ranked in the top two spots of the playlist. This probably means YouTube usually plays personalized video very high on the playlist in order to receive YouTube users' attention. So, however, there is one more question we haven't answered. So what if we launch this attack on the real user? So here is how we do this. We simply ask our project team member to visit a site where the pollution attack actually launched. And after that, we allow this user to watch any arbitrary video. So here we basically ask them to watch three arbitrary videos that they like. So they can pick any video they want. And then one question they have to answer to us is, do they actually see our targeted video show in their playlist? And the results show 60% of the user observe our targeted video in their playlist, which basically implies a 64% success rate. However, there are still like 36% of the failure rate. To understand this, we continue our experiment, asking the same users to further do one more experiment. It's basically like instead of you randomly pick up three videos that you want to watch, we give you 100 videos. The video that we pick, those 100 videos, is completely random. So we basically ask those users to watch exactly the same 100 videos. And the result is shown in this graph. As you can see, each of the dots in the graph is represented a user. And x-axis is the number of the videos that user has been watched. As you see, some users really watch a lot of video. They are watching like more than 10,000 video. That's really a lot. And some users only watch like hundreds of videos. So y-axis here is the number of times the target video show along with the assigned video. That basically means when they watch 100 video, so how many times they will actually see our targeted video on their playlist. So as you can see, there is a clearly linear relationship between the number of the video you've ever watched and or attack successful rate. And there are something is very interesting. First, no matter how many video you watch, you will always see our targeted video, but not for all the video that you watch. So the probability is low with the increasing number of the video that you watch. Okay? However, this is not always true. If you take a look at this graph again, you can easily identify an outlier right here. This guy is also watch a lot of video, like thousands of videos. That's actually really, really, really a lot. However, we see that even we test our attack on this user, we still see a fairly high successful rate. And we don't have answer for this, unfortunately. But we can guess, probably this is because of maybe the user watched the video, the video this user watched is usually the shorter video, that video length is really, really short, or the video this guy watched is not too many people interested in. So that's probably the reason our attack work very, very well for this particular user. To conclude our work, we discussed a new type of attacks which allow the attackers to manipulate personalized web content. The pollution attack is effective and powerful and can be launched on most personalized services. Although we only demonstrate our pollution attacks on a few personalized services like Google, YouTube, and Amazon, but we believe this attack can also be launched on other personalized services. For example, like what we know is like personalized advertisement, personalized news, and so on and so on. And thank you so much. I would like to take questions. Thank you.
So we have time for some questions. Then please state your name and affiliation. Or in case nobody has a question, so my question would be, can the content provider also detect the pollution attack? So can YouTube see or somehow detect that you try to pollute some user's profile?
So far, there is no way that from the YouTube side, this is really hard to identify whether when YouTube see a video is injected into a user's profile, YouTube is hard to tell is that because of the attack or is that because of the user actually would like to watch that video. So this is kind of difficult.
But is it really that difficult? Because you are, by a cross-site request forgery, you just load the page, but you don't play the video. So YouTube could see that you're not playing the video, so then not add it to the history.
Right, but one feature that YouTube give to the user is like, you can automatically play a video. So you even didn't realize the video is playing if I put the video in an iframe and set up the video to play automatically. So in that case, so the user even don't realize it. If I mute the video, of course.
Okay.
So my name is Fish, and I don't have any affiliation for now. And I really have a question for you. It's like, I appreciate your work. And could you give me a detailed example of how to carry down malware attacks using your approach? Thanks.
Carry malware?
Malware attacks, maybe, or other kind of attacks instead of just doing kind of like advertisement of, you see. I mean, they're different, right?
Right. So I don't know whether I understand your question correctly or not. So you are asking, what if the user actually can be, the user computer can be affected by a malware, then what can happen?
Yeah.
Is that
what is it possible?
Yeah, so actually this attack is, if you go back to this slide, so you will see, actually there are a lot of people actually doing that kind of research, like inject how to put the malware on your computer. So this attack is completely orthogonal to that type of attack.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Frank Imason, University of Waterloo. So what can we do to protect against this? And I assume it's companies like Google and Yahoo who want this advertising to be correct, and or this personalization to be correct. That's what they're trying to do, so it's not. So they would probably be the ones trying to implement the protection, and can they, or do they have to have a browser protection?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I will say if we are doing the detection from the server side, it's kind of difficult. However, one solution is like we can do this protection from the client side. It's basically like when user take this action, like when you watch a video, you have to click that video, right? So in that case, if we can implement some methodology inside of browser to catch this user's intent, then this is easily distinguished. Is that because of the traffic that YouTube receive is actually from, is the user with the user intent or without user intent? So that probably is one possible solution, defense mechanism.
Cool, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's thank the speaker again.